You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall. Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die.
As a union woman, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies.
And she don't.
Good morning, members and listeners to Radical Radio 3CR. You're with the Fire Up MUA program, and we're here with all the gang and a couple of special guests, but we'll speak to everyone first. How are you doing?
Yeah, fantastic, comrade. How are you?
Good, mate. And Aaron?
Doing well, David. How are you? Just feeling very radical today, mate.
That's all right.
And I'm well too, thanks, Dave. You seem to be very upbeat. The Dogs must have won a couple of games in a row, haven't they? You seem to be more happier than normal.
They're going pretty good.
They are going all right, the Doggies.
Hell might freeze over if Dave's smiling.
That'll be enough of that.
And we have some very special guests here today. We have Molly Driscoll and Jessica Diamond, who are two young MUA seafarers who work for the Spirit of Tasmania, and they're down in Melbourne in the Big Smoke. What are you guys doing in Melbourne?
Gosh, a whole lot of bloody everything at the moment, isn't it? We've been staying up at the Union Trades Hall in Carlton doing the Anna Stewart program.
It's a two-week program for women in the unions.
Yeah. And we sort of just developing the skills to, be better advocates, leaders in the workplace, understand our rights, to get experience in unionism. You know, we've been able to come down to the MUA and get some experience, you know, firsthand. And luckily for us, we have the best union of them all, but don't tell anyone else that. It's been awesome. I think a lot of it is just, you know, learning the language, all these things that we've had in our brain the whole time, but not really knowing how to communicate. So it's been really awesome.
Jessica, how long have you been on the Spirit of Tasmania, and what sort of got your interest up with the Anna Stewart program?
I've been with Spirit Tasmania for just over a year. Anna Stewart program, one of the girls from the Work the Teeth line shared in a chat group, and it's just a lot of values that I want to learn, and it's really interested me, all the topics.
Fantastic. What about you, Molly?
All right. So in high school, I was pretty interested in unionism and sort of that more that socialist side of life, as you may say. And then, you know, you start getting into the workforce and you start getting, you know, overpowered by it. You know, when you're, especially, you know, I'm 22, I'm quite young, living paycheck to paycheck like most other young people, you become a little powerless in the workplace. And then coming to TT Line and meeting the union and having chats, realising that you can actually, you know, have a voice in the workplace and on what happens to you. One of the other members introduced the Anna Stewart program. And I've been keen to get involved. I've been begging the delegates. I've been annoying them, actually. I'm like, send me every piece of legislation and the EA and everything so I can study it. Like, I don't know this stuff back to front. I want to be an expert. And so they've brought this up, and here we are now, and it's been, you know, more than I could have even hoped for, truly.
Have you had a highlight throughout the program so far? Has there been I know you're only just under halfway through, I think, now, but is there a highlight for you thus far, or is there something you're looking most forward to on the agenda?
Working with the branch coming on site, going down to Patrick's Terminal, really, really interesting. It's all just starting to sink in. We're halfway through now. So, yeah.
We've just got the crane.
Yeah. Best photo comp.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. Yeah, we have a photo competition and everyone's scared because no one has the props that we do. And we're like, we are coming with fire, mate. Don't you worry. But, you know, funny, we were in the crane and we were stepping around with the health and safety officer And I'm standing where the crane is. I don't know if how many of you are familiar with what it's like to be in a crane, but you look between your legs and the glass. And I was standing on that glass, and I get off, and he's like, "Mate, you know you're not meant to do that." I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "That's quite dangerous." I'm like, "Mate, that's your bloody job on the line, not mine."
Put your life on the line out there.
Exactly. But yeah, no, it's been awesome. Also, especially, it's been great being at Trade School, collaborating, with people from different industries. We have someone in theatre, we have nurses, we have people in the mental health industry, a teacher, we have a librarian. There's a wide range. But getting to come to the MUA and seeing how what we're learning, how that relates to the real world, has been the most valuable. I really enjoyed the other day when we got to have a talk with Ange from the Newcastle. Yeah. Oh my God, she's everything I want to be. Like, she is just on her game. Yeah, and that's the other part of this program that's been good, is just meeting like some like boss ass women, like getting stuff done, and learning, the way that they carry themselves, and the way that they
So
speak. So yeah.
it's one thing having a it's one thing to be able to have a voice. It's another thing to have the support to feel comfortable enough to raise that voice in the workplace. It's not the easiest thing if you're particularly, and we are in male-dominated industries, but it's not the easiest thing to put your hand up and say, "I've got something to say." So you've got to know that you belong. You've got to know that you have the support of everyone, and you're
Something
the
that you
equal.
need.
Everyone's the same. Everyone has the equal rights. And everyone has the right to have their say when they want about what they want. And I think that's it.
And being a casual employee, it's not usually the greatest career path.
Yeah, got no choice. Gonna wait out your
Yeah,
time.
no, well, actually, the union works hard to support our delegates, and casuals do have to be a little bit careful. You have to be smart, box smart, and follow the rules. I mean, that's all we want from the boss anyway. Follow the rules, follow our rules. The EA,
As long as they're
solidarity.
following our rules, we're fine.
Yeah. And also this week, we also had our special event down at Straitling, Jessica. You went down there this last couple of days with Straitling, where we celebrated the life of Anthony Addard.
Yeah, we had it as a special day. We celebrated the life of holiday
Ollie?
Hollywood.
Yeah.
It was very touching. Just the everyone around each other, comradeship, and just looking out for each other is really, really special.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like everyone, at the end of the day, work is work. It's not meant to control your life, let alone take away one's life. And so I think it's really significant that not just the company, but also the MUA comes down to celebrate his life.
A reminder about safety, not to cut corners. We all want to go home to our families, so
Yeah.
it's really
Yeah, it was the 11th anniversary of Hollywood's unfortunate passing on the job. And as you now know, the girls were there, and also the branch was there to support that workforce and commemorate his life. And just we'd like to think that there's been learnings come from that, and now no one else has died on the waterfront since that time 11 years ago, I
Not
don't
in
think.
Melbourne,
No, not
obviously,
in
that's
Melbourne,
not.
no. So it's the old thing. Everyone's, when you left to go to work this morning, there's someone expecting you home tonight. And whenever you're going to work, there's someone expecting you to go home. So make sure you do. Make sure you look after each other in particular. And so I made the comment, we're wharfies. And for the wharfie side of it, we'll cut a corner if there's an early nick. That's our biggest flaw. And it's understanding that that's 5 or 10 minutes that you're trying to save. It's just a set of lights, be fair to them. Now look after each other, make sure you get home, make sure your mates get home, make sure your people on the job get home.
And of course, Australian seafaring, or seafaring internationally, is also an exceptionally dangerous job. I mean, we've had so many near misses, near deaths in Australia, and there has been obviously deaths in Australia as well on ships. So you guys are working in a really dangerous industry. Sometimes you sort of forget how dangerous it is, but you need to, yeah.
Well, let's not forget the death we had down at our West Webb only this year, mate, where a foreign seafarer was crushed while driving a small fork
That's right.
on one of the
Like
ro-ro
seafarer,
vessels,
yeah,
so
flipped, or flipped. A young fella left a young family,
exactly. I think he had two young
two
kids,
young kids in the Philippines, yeah.
and a wife
Yeah.
back in the Philippines. So yeah, today's yeah it is a reminder for everyone that the most important things in our life are at home, not at work. There's no job that worth risking your life or any worker in general. It doesn't matter what industry you're in, you're losing their life at work. So
it's funny. A boss said to me years ago. He said, "What's the most dangerous thing on the job?" I said, "I reckon it's complacency, because we do something, the same thing we do it thousands of times, and you do it on memory. You don't even think. It's like when you're driving a car. Did I turn that bend? Yeah. Just do it, and it's complacency, and that's what generally
following Hollywood's passing. One of our comrades from down at Straightly, Warren, got up and spoke at the I think it was a WA state conference. Must have been the next one we had following the accident, and he said exactly that, right? That he explained it as like there's a corner, and every time we get a little bit complacent, we shave a little bit off and a little bit off, and eventually it just becomes a bend to a catastrophic incident like they saw on the job that day. And it's everybody's responsibility, including ours, to make sure that we are vigilant and doing our jobs properly, and ensuring that we each get home safely, including ourselves.
It's also important to, you know, especially something that's come to me in the last couple of weeks, to learn the language and to gain the confidence to be accountable for yourself and your mates. You know, learning, you know, especially, you know, down on Wolfie's, not that I've ever worked there, but it's very, you know, relaxed the way in which they interact with each other. And I can imagine it's really very hard to be, you know, to be taken seriously between each other. And I think an important element of it is being able to, you know, if you see something's wrong, like, call it out. That relates to many things. And also, I think also having the power and the knowledge to know how to say no, to exercise your right to say no, you know, is back on that complacency. You know, if you don't feel safe doing something, you're allowed to say no to it regardless of what it is.
That's
so,
Yeah,
but of course the boss is mainly responsible for incidents and accidents in the workplace, because he turns a blind eye to, you know, when people are taking shortcuts. It's human nature to want to get a job done and get out there quick. And these three railroad vessels or operations on Bass Strait all, you know, load and unload the vessels one day, every day. So it's job and knock every day. So it's a dangerous environment. And, you know, the boss needs to make sure and, you know, support safety in the workplace. Yeah.
When I worked at Patrick's, they would pull people up, why aren't your numbers high enough? I want to do an investigation as to why your numbers aren't high enough. But then some gang will go and do some enormous number. I say, have you done an investigation to that?
Yeah.
How they achieve that number?
Yeah.
That is more important than pulling people up about going who you perceive are working safely and going slow. You perceive to be going slow, they're working safely. And they don't do that.
Yeah.
And that's that.
And they have the same mentality at DP World at the moment, where they're trying to pin people for not moving enough number of boxes in a shift. And it's like, mate, They get everybody who's below an arbitrary number that we don't agree on and that doesn't exist inside the EA or any other policy, and then they try and pin people for not doing it, and they don't take into factor the considerations of everything else that are happening in the waterfront. But the flip side of that coin is they don't take into consideration how people are getting such high numbers to bring the average up, because that's
shocked to find out that there's monetary incentive for doing more boxes as a bonus. That took me for a spin a little bit.
Don't mention the war.
Yeah.
Careful.
Don't comment on it, just an observation.
It's
something we need to look at, really. It was introduced after the 98 dispute.
Yeah.
Especially sort of talking to people from the area, finding out, you know, a lot of it is young people who are casual, so they're just getting into the job, and, you know, it's probably the highest paying job they've ever had, and now they have the opportunity to make more money. Of course they're going to cut some corners to make some extra money. Wouldn't anyone, you know? So I think it's, I don't know how you balance that, but interesting. Apparently.
Interestingly, we have a claim on the table with Lynx about reintroducing a car boat bonus. They used to get a bonus for the car.
No damage coming up.
And the guys have put it on the table as a claim, which I'm feeling a bit of controversy over. I don't really support it, but anyway, we'll see what happens.
That's a good segue into how the Lynx EA is going, I suppose. Or
Probably, but we might go to a song first.
Oh,
we'll go to the.
Don't tell me one of yours is your songs again,
don't. Here, we're going to pass it over to Jessica, who is going to introduce her song.
All right, so I've gone with, of course, an 80s banger. Tom Petty, I Won't Back Down. I think we should all listen to this. This will inspire everyone. And I listen to this constantly at work because it's one of my favorite songs. Yeah.
Enjoyed that song. We're back live with Fire Up MUA. You're with the Victorian branch officials and our special guests from the Anna Stewart program, Seafarers from the Spirit of Tasmania, Jessica and Molly. And we're going to go straight on to an industrial report, maybe Cube first. Casper?
Yeah, okay. Well, as you know, the industrial element of it's all done. The agreements are all signed. We still have an issue around the protected industrial action that we took. They went and would allocate people. I would then take the money off them, but they still expect us to do the 1,820 hours. So we've got that going through the commission, etc. And this is going to take a couple of years to get to the end of that. So right now, people are having to do those hours for nothing. They are not being paid because they've already had that money stripped and they didn't prorate the hours. So it's a major issue. So why would anyone want to do Cube a favour who works for them? You know, they come and say, "Can you do me a favour?" It's not. It's so. Just be careful on the job. They are still sticking it up their workforce for whatever reason. The ideological views of senior management out of Sydney is that you should work for nothing, that you still have to do your 1,820 hours.
Such big views for such small people. Incredible.
Yeah, that's
trying to meet this little guy. I've heard so much about him.
I didn't know names. However, that blues continues on, Dave, and we're fighting. You know, we've chatted to him about it, and they just said, no, not interested. They'll have to go through the system, through the court system. So unfortunately, our members are having to work for nothing. So if they say you did 160 hours of protected industrial action, you are now having to do it. They took the money off you, but they're saying you still got to do your 1820 for the year. You are now working 160 hours for nothing.
That is incredible.
It gets better.
I mean, Karl Marx or those who love his work would call employees wage slaves, but Cube just wants us to be actual slaves. That's outrageous.
Even slaves got something. They're just saying no, nothing.
Are they at least giving us a free lunch?
No. Nothing. So, and also they, you know, the reports where they've asked those hours to roll over into the next year, at the end of this financial year, to roll the hours over. And you work for nothing. Extraordinary
can
stuff.
They,
so that's where Cube's
at. Hours over, can they?
There's a clause in the EA that says they've got to do that within 3 months of the financial year ending. And they came to us in Melbourne on the 1st of April, which was a day late. Made it clear in that meeting that there'll be no rollover of hours. So
morale's just been so bad at that productivity just slumped,
well,
right? Like surely if you're working less, getting paid right, you'd be working much harder when you get to work.
Well, that's a good, that's a really good observation, Molly. And you would like to think that, you know, I don't think I'd be busting my chops for an employer who just says come to work for nothing.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a general manager, after you get something out of the top shelf, you tell him to get fucked.
I'm not sure where that came from or who that was. Some random just floated through the microphone as we're doing the show.
A bird.
So that's the Cube report, Dave. So now you can
move on to the Lynx report. The Lynx report. I was up in Newcastle last week.
Newcastle.
You're a fancy R in Castle, mate.
Yeah, I actually stood in front of the workforce and introduced myself and said Newcastle. They went out. So, Newcastle. Doing the national EA for Lynx, the major competitor to Cube in the Balkan General area. And that's progressing along well. We've got some meetings here during the week in Victoria with Melbourne, Geelong and Western Port. Molly and Jessica are going to come along to those and inject a bit of life and vigour into it and fire up the guys. So, looking forward to that. But it is, we still, that agreement doesn't expire till December the 31st. So we've got, 6 months left to negotiate a good outcome for everybody. So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah. Awesome. How's the progress? Is it slow? Is it dragging?
The progress has been really good up until now. And I can tell you, Cube are going to the Balkan General customers and the car boats, the PPC vessels, saying, we have industrial peace with the MUA. That's what they're telling their clients. I know that you've got the legal battle still taking place, but there won't be any protected industrial action for another 3 years. One would imagine there might be some other action, but that's what they're telling their customers. And Lynx want to say the same story. They want to say, we've got peace with the MUA. We know what prices we're going to be able to quote because we've got the wage outcomes. So Lynx do want an agreement and the MUA want an agreement. So there has been good progress.
Is the progress going as good down at ANS, mate, for the final Balkan General Stevedore in the ports?
Yep, so we're also doing Australian National Stevedores who operate out of the Yarrabal berth here in Melbourne and in Geelong, predominantly in Geelong. They've got a lot of the bulk contracts in Geelong, and that is the other Balkan General Stevedore in operation here in Victoria. And, we are making some progress with that agreement. We're actually doing negotiations with them early next week or maybe this week, but we're doing them. It's interesting because they're classified as a suitcase stevedore. They don't have the large corporate overheads and costs that Lynx and Cube have. And Lynx and Cube pay, corporate fee to the corporate part of their organisations. Lynx are owned by Brookfield. Cube are owned by Cube.
Because they're a publicly listed company.
Right. So the shareholders get money, and ANS don't have that overhead. So we have to make sure that we get good outcomes for the ANS workers, because otherwise, ANS have a competitive advantage over Cube and Lynx. And it is an ongoing issue, especially in the bulk and general industry, but we're confident that we will get a good outcome at ANS. And that includes making sure members who may have had some incidents in their life continue to be employed by the company. So ANS need to understand that that's pretty important.
Yeah, excellent, Dave. Is there much sharing of the business between shipping companies, between, you know, both ANS and Link?
I wouldn't say sharing. The contracts constantly move between the three companies, though.
Yeah, okay.
Although ANS have had a monopoly on the fertiliser product in Geelong for the last 5 years, I reckon, which has created problems for the Link's workers down there.
You know, the volatility of the industry, really, the way that that could be flattened out for our members would be a pool of labour, right? So like a direct pool of labour that got picked up, similar to the pickup we had many, many, many decades ago. But that would help flatten out and give more stability and work for members when shipping companies oscillate between client and client. Our members would just be employed.
Yeah, look, and that's actually, you know, that's what we actually want. If you go into the ANS workplace now, you'll find a dozen ex-Links employees are now working for them. Our guys do manage to move between the companies, but not at the level that you've just suggested. Yep. And that's the level that we really want, where there's a pool of labour. The companies can go to that pool of labour and choose the guys. And they can go and work. I mean, that's the whole way the whole industry was developed in the years, of course. That needs to be protected as well, because we know that the boss favours certain people, and that's where the expression "you're on the coat" came from. The boss used to walk along the row of blokes, and someone would touch the lapel on their coat. If they didn't want them to work, they'd say, "He's no good," and they'd touch their coat and say, "No, he's on the coat." So you wouldn't get a day's work. So that's where that expression
came from. I would have lived in the coat rack.
So, yeah, moving on, we've got an agreement you're doing at the moment, Dean.
Yeah, mate. Actually, it looks like we've just wound it up and talk about industrial stability off the back of, Patrick's East Swanson's rollover. We've been able to finalise programmed industrial maintenance EA, which those guys obviously handle the maintenance down at East Swanson. And we've got a pretty happy workforce down there, mate. I've got no concerns about it not getting up with the vote. Next week, we've had a 15% pay increase over 3 years. Increases of superannuation, which would bring them up to 14%. Increases in casual loading and casual wages to cover, public holidays, Saturdays, Sundays. Increase to sick leave up to 13 days, and some extra securities for their delegates. In some new delegates clauses. So, mate, overall, they're pretty good. We've had an increase in their long service leave as well. So, credit to the committee down there. There are only a small workforce, but the two Delos, Steve and Simo, done a great job in working together to get a really good outcome. We had a bit of a pitfall at one stage, but other than that, mate, the boys had some pressure and we end up getting a good outcome. So well done.
Thanks, Dean. That's good to see that, mate. So everybody should tune in next week for an update on the VICT campaign. We've got bargaining going there, but for now, going to hand over to Molly, who's going to introduce the next song.
Yeah, I'll tell you now, Molly, you've got a tough one to follow. That's a great song, the Tom Petty song.
But you don't have big shoes to build, because Dave usually does it. So.
Inspired by the day sales, when it gets to around 11 o'clock, it's lunchtime, all the passengers start eating lunch. Luckily, it's also the same time that we start going through the heads. So as you can imagine, it gets a bit gnarly in there. So when I want to lift my spirits at work, I thought, what song do I listen to? And so I've chosen Careless Whisper by George Michael, because it gets everybody going.
A silver screen and all its sad good.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.